Melody Ranch and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the Longhorns had a feed on the rolling stream. Back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. Another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. Pat Buttram, Johnny Bond, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Orchestra, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Sweet little Twill, puffin' on corn silk. Sweet little Twill, whittlin' wood. Settin' there wishing he could go fishing over the hill. Sweet little Twill, sweet little Twill. Oh, don't he look drowsy? Sweet little Twill, nodding his head. I bet he feels lazy, plucking that daisy, getting a thrill. Sweet little Twill, sweet little Twill. Bobbin' and weaving, sweet little Twill. Wading in corn, taking it easy, out where it's breezy, better be still, sweet little Twill. And now is one of the prettier current ballads. Seems to be quite a public favorite, too. Goes as follows. I saw half of a photograph, and it took my breath away. For that face on that photograph was my love of yesterday. But somebody tore that picture like the way she tore my heart. Somewhere I'm on the other hand. If you find it, you will that her half of the photograph has a smile she meant for me.
It was only half a picture. There was still another part.
But somebody tore that picture like the way she tore my heart. Somewhere I'm on the other hand. If you find it, you will see that her half of the photograph has a smile she meant for me.
That's real pretty,
Gene. Well, thank you, neighbors. Many, many thanks. And now...
Howdy, howdy.
Well, howdy. And now...
Yes, don't suppose there's any chance of borrowing the loan of a couple of bucks from you till payday, is there?
No, there's no chance of borrowing a couple of bucks from me till payday. And now I want to...
How about one buck?
Look, Buster, the answer is still no. N-O. Not a buck. Not a quarter. Not a dime. Not even a halfpenny.
Well, why?
Because you're too lazy to work, that's why.
Are you kidding? Why should I work?
Well, so you can make money, for one thing.
Why?
So you can put it in the bank and save it.
Well, why?
So you can retire and not have to work.
Huh. Why go to all that trouble when I ain't working now?
I'll say one thing to you, Buttram. You aren't one to exert yourself unnecessarily.
Not if I can help it, I ain't. That reminds me. Did I ever tell you about the woman running over one of our chickens?
Well, when did this all happen?
This afternoon. Oh. I was busy resting at the time, though, so I didn't even bother to get out of my rocking chair.
So?
So the lady that done the running over, she come walking up to the porch where I was rocking away, and she says, "I'm terribly sorry, young man, but I just run over one of your hens, and I'd like to replace her."
Well, that was nice of her. What did you say?
What could I say? I just told her. I said, "That's okay with me, lady, providing you can lay an egg."
You know, sometimes I wonder about you, Buttram.
You ain't the only one. When I was just a little baby, I was born at a very early age, you know. And my mama and papa, they didn't know what they wanted me to be. So one day, papa said to mama, he says, "I know a sure way to find out." Well, sir, right then and there, papa put a Bible, a dollar bill, and an apple on the floor. And he sent me crawling into the room alone to see what I'd do. He claimed that if and I took the Bible, I'd be a preacher. If and I took the apple, I'd be a farmer. And if I took the dollar, I'd be a banker.
Oh. Well, I know I'm very silly for asking, but which one did you take?
Well, sir, first I picked up the apple, put that in my mouth. Then I picked up the dollar bill, put it in my pocket. Then I picked up the Bible, put it under my arm, and walked out. So Papa says, "Well, what do you know, Mama? That boy of ours is going to be a politician."
Now, that's what I call a very wise observation. Say, by the way, did you wash the dishes, clean the house, scrub the floors, beat the carpet, hang the curtains, chop the wood, milk the cows and feed the chickens like I told you to do this morning?
No, but don't worry, I will. I'll do them. And I'll also shovel the snow off of the sidewalk.
Wait just a minute there, Buster. Huh? There's no snow on the sidewalk this time of the year.
No, but there will be by the time I get done with the rest of them, Bob. So long, Mr. Carter.
Well, so long, Patrick, old boy. We'll check with you again in a few minutes. Meantime, let's all give a careful listen to the Cass County Boys singing a brand new song called...
Oh, sweet mama, sweet top doll, won't you kindly turn your damper down? I can smell those whole cakes a-burning, honey. They done burned plum brown. Since ham went up to a dollar a pound, I eat so many rabbits I just hop all around. Oh, sweet mama, treetop doll, won't you kindly turn your damper down? Oh, sweet mama, treetop doll, won't you kindly turn your damper down? I can smell those whole cakes a-burning, honey. They done burned plum brown.
There was a Dominic, a rooster, and a Shanghai hen. They run around together, but they ain't no kin.
Oh, sweet mama, sweet top doll, won't you kindly turn your damper
biscuits with the honey, too. But I tell you, baby, nothing sweet as you.
Oh, sweet mama, sweet top doll, won't you kindly turn your damper down? Turn it down, turn it down, turn it down, turn it down. Mama, turn your damper down.
And now, friends, here's a song I had the pleasure of recording not too many years ago. You seemed to like it then. He's hoping you still like it now. In the blue Canadian Rockies, spring is sighing through the trees, and the golden poppies
are blooming round the banks of Lake Louise. Across the sea they call me, and I'm lonesome and so blue. For the blue Canadian Rockies and the girl I love so true. Across the sea they call me, and I'm lonesome and so blue. For the blue Canadian Rockies and the girl I love so true. There's a little old church in the valley where I first learned of sorrow and
you know, neighbors, not far from right here at Melody Ranch is a place called Willow Valley. And there, nestled among the trees, is a church. A little church that the song you just heard the boys and girls singing could very well have been written about. Yet a church that might never have been built had it not been for a man named Cyrus Carter. However, as fate often wills it, Cyrus Carter didn't live to see his dream become a reality. As a matter of fact, it was just 2 weeks before the Sunday his church was to be dedicated that Cyrus Carter passed away, leaving his wife and son to carry on his work. And that's where this story begins.
I do hope I'm not keeping you from anything, Jane, but, well, you're the only one I know to turn to.
Believe me, I'm mighty flattered to think that you would, Mrs. Carter.
Well, I mean it. But I'm afraid this isn't something you asked for, like a church pledge. You see, it's about our son, Ben.
Ben? He isn't in any kind of trouble, is he?
Oh, no, not really. I guess being a mother, I'm just a little disappointed, that's all. You see, Jean, Cyrus's fondest dream was that one day Ben had followed in his footsteps and carry on his work. Well, now, since his father's gone, something seems to have changed him.
How do you mean, changed him, Miss Carter?
Well, he told me last night that he wants to go away, Jean. He wants to forget all about the church. He wants to build a whole new life for himself.
I see. And can you think of any reason for this sudden change?
Oh, I only wish I could. Naturally, I don't want to force him into doing something he no longer cares about, but, well, I thought you might be better able to talk with him about it.
Well, believe me, I'll be glad to, Mrs. Carter. That is, if you really think it'll do any good.
I don't know, Jean. I don't honestly know that it will. But Ben thinks the world of you. That much I do know.
Tell me, is he still living at the house with you?
No, Jean. He's staying out in Willow Valley by himself. He fixed up one of the back rooms in the new church.
In that case, I'll go right out to see him this afternoon. Don't worry, Miss Carter. Ben's a fine young man. You saw that. He can't go too far wrong. And so, Ben, that's it. That's why I came over here to talk to you.
I guessed as much. Look, Gene, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my mother. It's my life, and I'm going to get out of it what I want.
No one's disputing your right to do that.
Then what's this all about, anyway?
Your mother just wants to make sure that you really get those things you want, Ben, that's all.
Well, one thing's a cinch. I'm not going to get them here. I've lived, eaten, and slept in a church all my life. I even went to theological school to learn how to become a minister. Because that's what my mom and dad wanted me to do. But then Dad died, and somehow nothing after that made any sense. It couldn't. No matter how I added it up, I got the same answer. He'd given his time, his money, his food, finally his life to others. And for what? When he died, all he left was a mortgaged house, a lot of unpaid bills, and a half-finished church that's never opened its doors.
Aren't you forgetting an awful lot of people who'll never forget him for his kindness and help?
Maybe. But aren't you forgetting kindness and help don't buy clothes and groceries?
They buy a lot more than that, Ben. They buy happiness. And when it came to counting that kind of wealth, your dad was one of the richest men I ever knew.
Look, Gene, that kind of talk sounds good. Maybe it listens okay for somebody else, but not for me. I'm leaving here just as soon as I can get enough money to do it.
Okay, Ben. That's the way you feel about it. I guess there's not much more I can say.
That's the way I feel about it. I'm sorry, Gene. I hope you understand.
Let's just say I wish you luck.
Thanks. We'll keep in touch, huh?
Right, Ben. So long.
So long.
Funny, isn't it? I mean, how much importance so many of us attach to the material things in life, and how little heed we pay to the spiritual things that many times mean so much more. Anyway, getting back to the story, on the following Saturday, I remember I was going over the current bills in my back room when all of a sudden... Hello?
Hello, Gene. It's Sheriff Dillon.
Oh, hello, Jim.
Get your boys together and head for Willow Valley right away, will you, Gene?
Why? What's up?
Well, some guy just held up the rancher's loan exchange here in town and got away with $5,000. We think he's headed out toward Willow Valley. I sent a posse out from here, so I figure if you and your boys head him off from the other way, we ought to make contact somewhere near the new church.
Right, Jim.
Oh, yeah, yeah, one other thing. Now, this guy's trigger-happy, so watch it.
Don't worry. We'll leave within 5 minutes.
Ah, good.
So long. Willow Valley, huh?
Hello.
Hello, Ben. This is Gene.
Oh, yeah, Gene. What's on your mind?
Some guy just held up the rancher's loan exchange in town and got away with $5,000.
What?
They think he's headed out your way, but so is the sheriff's posse. So I just called to tell you to keep your eyes open.
Oh, gosh, thanks, Gene. Thanks for tipping me off. I'll keep a careful lookout.
Right. So long, Ben.
Okay, chum, reach and freeze.
Who are you?
Never mind that. Just keep those hands up nice and high where I can see them.
Well, you must be the one who just held up the rancher's loan exchange.
Well, now, news sure travels fast around here, don't it? Yeah, I'm the guy, all right. And for your information, mister, there's 5,000 bucks in this bag that you're going to see that I keep.
Oh, no, I'm not. You won't get away with it. They'll find you here.
I doubt that. I doubt it very much. Especially when you tell them you ain't seen me.
Hey, what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to hide this dough in your closet. Like this. Yeah. That ought to do it. Now, you got any grub around here?
No.
Don't give me that stuff. Fix me up something and make it fast. I'll be back as soon as I hide my horse. And, oh, yeah. Just in case you might want to call somebody to tell them I'm here. Moving up these telephone wires ought to take care of that. Now, hurry it up. I'm hungry.
Okay, you up with them.
Why, you...
Don't reach, mister. You're covered from all sides.
Oh, yeah? Well, you ain't taking Rocky Sims alive.
Let him have it, boy.
Well, sir, by the time me and the boys from Melody Ranch got out to the church, the excitement was all over. One deputy had been hit, but not seriously. But the guy we were after, Rocky Sims, was dead. The sheriff told me they hadn't been able to find all the stolen money, though. Said he figured the dead guy had probably hidden it somewhere along the trail and intended to pick it up later. But somehow that explanation didn't quite ring true to me, so I went back to talk to Ben about it.
Yeah, who is it? Well, Gene, what are you doing out here?
Hello, Ben. Getting ready to go somewhere?
No, I just decided to leave sooner than I expected, that's all.
Oh. Kind of a sudden decision, isn't it?
Sudden? Oh, yeah. You see, I figured there was no point in my sticking around any longer. It'd just make Mom and everyone else more unhappy than they already are.
Yeah, I guess you're right at that. Oh, by the way, I suppose you heard they haven't found the stolen money from that stick-up in town yet.
Oh?
The sheriff thinks they May find it hidden along the back trail somewhere.
Yeah, sounds logical.
Maybe. Funny, isn't it? I bet a lot of guys would like to get their hands on that much money. Just think, $5,000 in unmarked bills.
Well, what are you driving at?
Oh, nothing. I was just wondering what I'd do if I had that kind of money. Guess I'd buy a lot of things, but I doubt if I'd be able to sleep much at night.
Look, Gene, like I said...
I know. You're in a hurry to leave. Well, guess I'll be going.
What are you looking at me like that for?
I was just recalling a passage your dad used to quote ever so often from the Bible. It went, "What shall it profit a man if he gaineth the whole world and loseth his soul?" Well, so long, Ben. Take it easy. Next day was Sunday, and as Pat and I walked in to take our seats for the morning services, the congregation was just finishing singing the opening hymn.
Hey, Gene, look. There's Miss Carter down front, all by herself.
Yeah, I see her, Pat.
Gosh, you'd think Ben at least would be here if for no other reason than just that his mom wants him to be. By the way, who's preaching the sermon this morning, do you know?
Reverend Lewis from over at Rimrock, I think.
Oh, sure. He's a nice fella.
He's coming out now.
Hey, Gene, look. It's Ben. I thought you said that...
Quiet, Pat. Quiet. Listen.
Good friends, the subject of my sermon this morning was inspired by a favorite passage of my father's from the Old Testament. It reads, "What shall it profit a man if he gaineth the whole world and loseth his soul?" First, however, let us all rise and sing hymn number 146.
There's a little old church in the valley where I first learned of sorrow and love.
I can see Mother there with her head bowed in prayer as she prays for her wandering boy. It was there that I first found my Sally, like an angel on earth, so it seemed, when she sang sweet and low in the long, long ago, in the little old church of my dreams.
There's a little old church in the valley where I first learned of sorrow and joy.
I can see Mother there with her head bowed in prayer as she prays for her wandering boy. It was there that I first found my Sally, like an angel on earth, so it seemed, when she sang sweet and low in the long, long ago, in the little old church of my dream. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms like you've never been held before. I'll think of you each day
and then I dream the night away. Are in my arms once more. The stars up in the sky know the reason why I feel so blue when I'm away from you. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. So, darling, please wait for me. The stars up in the sky know the reason why I feel so blue when I'm away. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. So, darling, please wait for me. Goodbye, little darling, we're parting. You know it's hard to say goodbye. You'll find someone new, and they'll be good to you. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye. Goodbye, little darling, don't worry. We'll meet beneath the Texas sky. I don't know when or where, but darling, I'll be there. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye. Goodbye, little darling, don't worry. Parting don't always mean goodbye. You will always be in my memory. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye. Goodbye, little darling, I'll miss you. Just like the stars would miss the sky. Though we have to part, you'll always have my heart. Goodbye, little darling, goodbye.
You have been listening to Melody Ranch with Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Cotner, and America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry. Charlie Lyon speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.